Thank you very much. I'd like to thank the National Library for hosting this, the Hungarian Ministry of Culture, of course, and Simon, who just did a wonderful speech on the background of Europeana. And of course, congratulations to Linked Heritage for the public launch today. We'll be talking a lot more about that. I think the previous presentation already showed what an incredibly fascinating but also fast-moving environment we're in. I joined Europeana a year ago, a little over a year, and we've made some tremendous progress together with the community on where we should move to. What I'd like to show you today as a stepping stone for further discussions today on the Linked Heritage Project is some thinking, the phases that we think we've been through and where Europeana stands today where it comes to opening access to digital culture. I've labeled that ambitiously connecting society through culture. Forgive me for the quite heavy wording, but I think this is by and large still the business that we're in. Europeana and everything that we do around and with it is about connecting society through culture. So I'd like to distinguish three phases that we've been through and that we're in. And the first phase that started in 2005 I labeled here as connecting cultural artifacts. Where in 2005, Europeana started as an idea. Six heads of state got together and thought that we needed to join forces to do something with our digital cultural heritage. I think in that beginning phase, it was very much about bringing together in a harmonized way all the cultural heritage in a very standardized format. It comes back to an old Renaissance idea of bringing all knowledge into one single place, which is really important. That comes back to a vision that was formulated in 2008. It's got quite a few words in it, I won't repeat the whole thing, but to me it comes down to digitizing culture is about, has a cultural component. It contributes to our pan-European identity, which is crucial to develop further. But there is also an economic component to it. It's about developing new online services, new content. Reuse of the content will bring us further and we'll come up with new digital heritage. But for the time being, between 2005 and 2010, it was about bringing all the material into one place. And I'd just like to stress that all that we did at Europeana was three things. We collected metadata, descriptive metadata of the cultural object held in another place, a hyperlink that linked to that original object, and a preview. And a preview showcases what the original looks like. So there's no content involved here. We see Europeana, we still do, as a gateway to content. We've built a portal. There was a prototype in 2008 that developed into a full operational service last year, and we're continuing to develop that. And the strategy behind that is that we have over 1,500 partner institutions, ranging from the Louvre to the Drents Archief, which is a small archive in Holland, through the British Library and everything in between. And the strategy we use is aggregation. We need aggregators to bring all that material into Europeana. It's absolutely impossible to do that and have contacts with all these institutions ourselves. Linked Heritage proposes to do some of that, so that's fantastic. Currently we have, that's sort of not even the latest count, I think Simon had a later count than I have here. We have over 19 million objects now. And we also realized that 1,500 partner institutions is only the beginning. We have made a rough estimate, there are about 60,000 cultural institutions in Europe alone. So there's still quite a way to go. Nevertheless, we believe that we're now entering a new phase, bringing all the material together in a harmonized, standardized way we'll continue to do, but we also need to be much more focused on access. Connecting culture. And how do we do that? We thought long and hard about this. The Comité des Sages was an extremely important background for the development of our new strategy. And we really tried to look at it also from a business-like perspective. What's the biggest value contribution that Europeana could make to digitizing of culture and to the digital agenda at large? And we identified various stakeholders, we held numerous workshops, and we came out that there are four things that Europeana should focus on in the next 4 or 5 years. These are very rough and big areas, and we're still fine-tuning it, but by and large, this is what we'll be doing. The first one is aggregation. We'd like Europeana to become the trusted source of cultural digital heritage. What that means is still under definition. We can talk about that. What we'd like to think of is that you can find digital cultural heritage material everywhere. You can Google it. You can find images of anything. But to find the original trusted source, we'd like that to be coming from a Europeana repository. We'll be doing many things over the next couple of years. You know, building that archive of 90 million objects to a much larger amount is one of them, but I think we should focus much more on quality. Masterpieces have been talked about. What that means is also a definition question, but focusing on quality, that's what end users want in the end. I'm just showing you one of the images I really like from the Imperial War Museum about the First World War. Their perspective on it, which can be found through Culture Grid, was the aggregator of this. But the important thing is that there's also the other perspective. This is the German perspective on the First World War. And connecting these two and getting people to connect with it is the ambition level for aggregation for us. The second big part that Europeana will be focusing on is facilitating innovation. We strongly believe that we can play a role in getting people together in meetings, having a network function to really be a catalyst of change. And we really need to do that. We're still in very early stages in this digitization process, which will take 10 to 20 years to fully transform and get full value out of. We'll bring professionals together. We're organizing many conferences, workshops. We did one just on Monday, bringing together all the relevant institutions dealing with digitization of First World War material, which is, of course, leading up to 1914. We're also doing, with the Collections Trust 2 weeks ago, we brought together the Content Council and Aggregators Council of Europeana. So there are various venues where we can do things. We need to tackle very important and big and complicated issues, such as licensing. We're still, again, in early stages. We've heard the Commission say that we should be moving into open data. Currently, we at Europeana believe that as well. But you are touching upon several subjects. It's not easy, especially not if you want to also finance this whole endeavor and through private partnerships. And we also would like to build a very strong R&D agenda. Europeana, the portal is one thing, but there are tremendous other valuable things that we can do and learn from, such as semantic operations, etc. And this is linked to open data. The third big angle that we build our strategy on is distribution. We have a portal. We have about 5 million visitors a year, and we think we can easily grow that much further. We believe that this portal will become a first experience for people who are surfacing cultural heritage. And that's not unimportant at all. We think that there's a tremendous value in it. But we also think that to bring the material in the workflow of the user is what this is really about. And to do that, we're experimenting with linked open data. We just released 3 million objects out of Europeana in a pilot project under linked open data. And we're very curious to see what kind of applications will be built on top of this. This is an example I like very much from Stanford, the Republic of Letters project, where you can, through data mining and open data mining and linked open data, see the correspondence of important philosophers in the 17th and 18th century. So it's this type of applications that I could foresee through linked open data and Europeana material. And finally, there's apps, applications. We started experimenting with that. I was at the Digital Assembly meeting last week, and we saw a huge number of great potential applications coming out. I'll show you a couple that we did as part of our hackathon series. But that's the third thing that we need to really focus on. And all of this should, and this is the end game to me, lead to a much more engagement. If we're trying to connect society through culture, it means that it's an interactive process. It's about reusing the material, creating new material out of it, building applications, and also involving the industry in it. I'm going to show you just something that has a personal interest of me. What we did recently with a First World War project, a user-generated content thing, which we called Europeana Erste Weltkrieg. It was a project launched in Germany as a follow-up of something that Oxford University did in 2008 in England. And it's a program to design to capture the stories. It's not just the material, but it's the stories behind them, because the stories will connect the people to the material at the end of the day. We'll be building a storyline of this, because Germany is only the first case where we work together with. We're talking with people in at the French ministry to do this in 2012, perhaps. In France, Belgium, Hungary, anyone who had a role in the First World War is invited to join in this. There were four submission days in Germany. Over 300 people came there and contributed personal memorabilia. Thank you. Little personal items that they had in their family for close to a century, with the stories that connected them to this war. One in Frankfurt, one in Munich, one in Berlin, and one in Stuttgart. And fascinating things came out of it. This is an example of something that Ms. Berger in Berlin brought, which is a delousing chit, a proof that the person who had this certificate was deloused and was no longer a threat to the public safety. 14,000 objects were scanned, so partly from the submission days themselves and partly through the website that was open to this. 300 items were already online. We're actually over 2,000 right now. This is another interesting example. It's a label that wounded men or women would wear, and the red stripe on the right-hand side indicated how wounded you were. So one stripe was you're wounded, but not that badly. You could still, you know, walk on your own to the hospital. Two was really severely, and three, you're pretty much given up. It was hardly worth getting you to the hospital. And numerous personal stories collected. A diary from Jörn Ziegler-Schmidt, who's also part of our network, by the way, who is leading the German Digital Library, from his grandfather at Easter 1916. He was killed eventually in March 1918, unfortunately. Very personal and moving things that connect us to history. We're building on this. I'm not going to elaborate on this story. This is one particular story that we liked between a prisoner of war and an English officer. I invite you to go online at the Europeana site. You'll see a little movie that we made out of this. But it's a way that we found to connect to the people we'd like to work with. To conclude, I think there's also a phase three, connecting societies through culture. That will be not about bringing everything into one place. It will change that whole vision of it, and it will be about bringing the knowledge everywhere, making sure the material is there where people need it, individuals as well as public and also private entities. It's very deeply embedded in the old vision of Europeana in 2008, but only now I think we're on the threshold of actually doing something in this direction. It has everything to do with licensing. I'm sure you're aware that we're revisiting the Europeana Data Exchange Agreement. We've held a long consultation, the outcome of which is looking positive. We had 110 responses. Over 88% of those were positive towards changing, and this is the most important component, from the original CC BY non-commercial clause to a much more open license such as CC 0. Of course, we understand that it's not a given, it's difficult. There are legal questions surrounding it. There are questions around can you trace this material back to the original institution? But we firmly believe that we need to do this in order to fulfill the missions that we just described. To round this up, I give you a couple of examples. We did a roadshow for hackathons. We called it Hack for Europe over the past, which was the week before last. Very intensive, hard work to get it. We did it with a couple of partners, the Collections Trust, the Picasso Museum, the Poznan Supercomputing Center, and the Swedish National Heritage Board. And these were very intense, very interesting ways of interacting with culture. We had over 80 developers developing over 50 applications in a very condensed two-day or one-day experience. And we really got a view of what's possible if we would open up this data and applications would be able to be built on this. I'm showing you the winners to give you a taste of it. The number one, we had a couple of categories on which we gave away prizes, which were handed over by Commissioner Kroes last week at the Digital Agenda. For social inclusion, there was an application for Androids where you could, which is called Casual Curator, you could very easily through the Europeana API make your own collections, create little stories out of and publish them easily. And we thought there would be tremendous potential in the education sector for such a thing. Another one was called Art for Europe, which came out of Poznan. So two young guys with a small startup company developed this. It's again a mobile application where you could walk through a museum, point your device towards a painting for which there was little information available, and through the Europeana APIs again you could get contextual information on that particular painting, the painter, etc., which we thought was a fabulous thing as well. A more in the fun part of things, this was called Time Book, which got the Audience Award and allowed a sort of a Facebook applications for historical figures so that all of us could become friends of Napoleon or whomever. I say this jokingly, but I think this is really interesting. It does connect to what young people are doing today. And finally, this is my personal favorite, a 21-year-old young man called Martin from a remote island in Sweden developed this called Time Mesh. It allows you to walk through a city, I'm sure it would work here in Budapest, point at the palace, and it would grab related information, pictures from Europeana, and you would be able to frame it through an overlay to exactly the same position and make a current picture now, which really connects history to the future, I think, or at least to the present. I'd like to leave it with this. Congratulations. I think we have a lot of work to do also with Linked Heritage, and I hope you have a very good conference. Thank you.